You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to game week 34. It's a double game week. My name is Joe and today we'll be looking to see who is due a goal or assist using Fantasy Football Scout's trusty goals and assists imminent tables. As usual, I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout's deputy editor, Tom Freeman. Welcome, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, we're just saying before we came on air then, both had pretty average game weeks. I think I've got 67 points, but like you just said there, we've got a big double coming up, big opportunity for points. So, yeah, looking forward to it. I think I'm pretty set on one of my moves, considering a few names. So, yeah, looking forward to having a look at the tables. And feels like we're coming into that period of the season where we want one or two differentials and these tables normally good for that. So, yeah, let's see what they throw up.
Yeah, definitely. So myself and Tom will be doing a team selection video revealing our teams, our drafts and moves for game week 34. I've also done a wildcard draft for 35 because I'm more thinking about that at the moment. It's a bit more interesting for my team because I already pretty much know what moves I'm going to make. But that will be later today. Meanwhile, yes, we'll be looking at the goals and assists imminent tables. This is essentially looking at underperformers, really, who's due a goal, who's got the good stats, but they're not delivering at the moment. So we'll look at some of the names on there. We'll look at how we've done as well. We'll also offer a reminder. Do press that like button. Do remember to subscribe. Keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. And welcome those early birds joining us in the live chat. FPL Copycat, Kaya, Sakan, Thomas, and many more. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to be having a live Q&A at the end as well of the show. So do think of some questions. And then me and Tom will answer them as best as we can towards the end of the show. Okay, let's just start off. We'll go for the goals and assists imminent tables for game week 33. See how we did. It's a bit of a mixed bag. We had quite a few no shows, a lot of rotation. We'll go for the goals imminent first. Alvarez did reward us with an assist. Obviously not totally nailed on, but could be an interesting player for game 34 with a single, and he faces Brighton. So if he gets a start, Brighton not in good form, he could be good. Brennan Johnson let us down as Tottenham let their team down, their fans down. Tony didn't show up. Eze, we'll come back to him in a second. Eze got a goal. So Boslai, yeah, he I think he was in the, I can't remember, he was in the original leak and then not. There's speculation that some of those leaks were deliberately planted to flush out the leakers. So if a leaker puts a Boslai starting, they've been flushed. Lewis Potter at Brentford, not particularly interested in him. Gabriel at Arsenal let us down. They got a 0 points. But you and I, as Ben White owners, we didn't care. We liked that, didn't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I got a little bit fortunate with that, but what was it, 5 points? I think Ben White returned in the end, and it got a small rank boost off that with obviously Saliba and Gabriel losing the clean sheet.
So it's Eze I wanted to come back to. No, Eze, Crystal Palace, at top of the season ticket for game week 34. They have got two home games, West Ham and Newcastle. So they're sort of on paper tough, but they're, you know, can easily score. For their attackers, I think this is a good fixture. Eze's certainly one of my top targets. I'm going into this, as you are, Tom, without a free hit. So my transfers I want to use wisely, and Eze's top there. But yeah, it was a great audition, wasn't it? A goal.
Yeah, he looked good, didn't he? He was real good at outlet on that left-hand side, and with Tyreek Mitchell pushing up really high behind him, that all of Palace's threat came down that side, I thought, especially in the first half. So yeah, I think these two fixtures are good for them because they'll be playing West Ham, who are in Europa League action on Thursday. They'll be traveling to Leverkusen. I don't think we give them much chance over there, but we saw how leggy they looked against Fulham at the weekend. And maybe the April schedule, they've played a lot of games, is just catching up with them a little bit. So good time to play them. And Newcastle, much better at home. So the fact that they're having to travel there, I'd give them a chance of getting returns in both games. So I suppose the big question for many will be Eze or Elise. And who to go for, but in truth, they're both really nice options, I think.
I did a free hit guide video this week. I also did a video with FPL General, who is free hitting as well. I do advise people to go look at both of those, if you, especially if you're free hitting, but also if you're just like us and using transfers. But yeah, I was recommending Eze and Elise. I mean, if you're on a free hit, don't mess around. Eze and Elise, just get them both in. I think they're both good options there, and you've got the freedom to do that. Our assists imminent table, a lot of blanks here. So I'll go through them, and I will dwell on one player. Foden did turn up blank. Fernandes, two goals. We'll come back to him. Odegaard, blank. McNeil for Everton, a blank. Willian, a blank for Fulham. So he's not the flavour of the month at the moment with Fulham. So the likes of Pereira,
No.
probably, who did score a brace,
Yeah.
probably better. Pascal Gross at Brighton, blanked. Grealish at Man City blanked, and Szoboszlai, I mentioned, he blanked as well. I want to come back to Fernandes because he is a good option for game week 34. No double game week, but he's at home to Sheffield United. He's come into some form, and he's made an appearance in my wild card draft for 35. Because mainly because he's on penalties and things. I just think he could be a better option. Worth a go. But yeah, Fernandes. I mean, I've mentioned him for 35, but 34, I think he's quite a strong pick, free hitting or not. At home to Sheffield United, just one game, but pretty good one.
Yeah, they've got a couple of good games at home in a row, haven't they? They've got Burnley as well after. So he'll be overlooked. I mean, if you're playing a free hit, you're naturally going to gravitate towards those players who play twice. But he's put in, it's strange, isn't it? United are really bad. They're still really bad. But Bruno is just coming into a bit of form. He's ticking over. I think it's what, seven attacking returns in seven games, something like that. And had a look at some stats earlier, and he's taking lots of shots as well. I think he's had 18 shots in his last five games. Never worry about the creativity with Bruno. He's always going to tick over with assists, I think. So, yeah, I think if it wasn't a free hit, I think he could do well this week, but I don't think I would have him in a
No.
free hit 11 this week. But I absolutely think for those who are wildcarding like me and you in 35, he will be a name everybody considers, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I've sort of gone off Garnacho a little. Mainly because he liked and then removed that like of a critical post about Ten Hag. Ten Hag has been notoriously prickly with players daring to question him, even if it is justified. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out. And of course, he was hooked at half time as well.
It was.
So there's options up front, not many, but there's options up front. And Garnacho may not be nailed. I mean, I still think he is the best attacking outlet, but I'm not in charge of Manchester United. So there we go.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I think he probably will remain in
Yeah.
the first team, but there is that element of doubt, isn't there? now where you would just like to see that Sheffield United game and see him put in a really strong performance. Because yeah, he was, like you say, he was hooked at half time against Bournemouth. United were getting torn to shreds down that side, so he wanted to switch it up. So yeah, for me, that's a case of see what happens this weekend and then react in game week 35.
Okay, we'll move straight on to the goals imminent table. This one's going to be a bit different. Now, the assists imminent table is very focused on game week 34, very focused on who is due an assist. Goals imminent table, it's who is due a goal, but the names weren't actually that good for game week 34. So anyway, I'll put it up and explain a bit more. So
Okay.
yeah, basically it's Beto from Everton. So, for those listening on the podcast, there's more names to it as well. So I've got I'll go through them quickly, and then we'll go back and dwell on a few here, because a couple of them, the Spurs players, don't play in game week 34, but they could be of interest in game week 35. I know they just got hammered by Newcastle, but they've got strong underlying stats. A couple of these differential players here. So we've got Alvarez here, once again for Man City, away to Brighton, could be an option. Five big chances, and he's missed them all. Six shots on target in his last four matches. Tony didn't show up. I think people have just probably had enough with Tony there, so I'm not even going to read out his stats. Although he has had 14 shots and 11 inside the box in the last four matches. Muniz at Fulham. I was surprised. I was assuming that he was just scoring every week, but he's only got one goal in those last four matches. The next two, Werner and Brennan Johnson, I think are interesting. I have asterisks them, though. They do not play, so they're not going to get us any returns in 34, but they double in game week 35. And I'm very tempted. I don't know if I've got any space for them, but on my wild card in 35, I'd be very tempted for one of them. Werner has had two big chances, missed them both. He's had nine shots, eight inside the box. Brennan Johnson, seven shots, five inside the box, four big chances. He has scored in the last four matches, three big chances. Beto, no one's going to get him unless they're absolutely insane. 5.7 million for Everton. He's playing because Calvert-Lewin's injured. He's had a big chance. He's had two big chances. He's missed one. He has scored in the last four. He's had four shots on target, eight shots, seven inside the box. So, hooking back, going back to some of those names there. Let's start with this game week 35 options of Werner and Brennan Johnson. I like to see them here, and I'm really tempted, but it's just finding a space for them. But yeah, did either of them tempt you? And if so, which one?
Johnson, yeah, I can't watch Werner. I watched him on there. I just the wastefulness in front of goal. It's just taking its toll, I think. And I was watching the game, the Saturday kickoff at Newcastle, and he just had two. I think there was an opportunity where he really should have headed it in the first half, and he just volleyed it over. And it was just hard. It was a hard watch. And so Johnson, however, I really like him. I think he's even in that match, I think he was Spurs' most dangerous attacker, I think, in the first half. He just didn't get much service. But I did like the fact that after Son came off, he was the player who went through the middle. So he's showing a bit of versatility there. And I think they need him at the moment. And I think I would like three Spurs. I know the fixtures are tricky in double game week 35 for them. They're not straightforward, but I think I would like three, and two attackers definitely makes sense over a defensive double up or something like that. And I think he would be the person with Son at the moment that I would go for. So yeah, I like Johnson a lot.
Yeah, in game week 35, it's Manchester United at home to Burnley. That looks like a great fixture. And I do like Bruno Fernandes, or indeed some people might prefer Garnacho. It's a great fixture for them. But I guess in essence, I'd be going for Fernandes really for 37. So I am very tempted to get Brennan Johnson in, but sort of reverse engineer it. So basically, I've got Fernandes actually in my team, but I get rid of him. I don't have him for 35. Got Brennan Johnson. And then in 36, when Tottenham are against Liverpool and Manchester United against Crystal Palace. So either 36 or 37, Fernandes can come in there. So it's sort of booking in a transfer, but it's a double. So I do like, Brendan Johnson. I know what you mean. I just feel that he is the third Spurs player to get in.
Yeah, it feels like that now. And I look at those two fixtures, and Arsenal Chelsea is a tricky double, but they're playing Arsenal at home now in a North London derby. I still think you would expect Spurs to score in that one. I would anyway. And then it's away at Chelsea. And yeah, Chelsea got a clean sheet last night, but what is it, their second of the year, I think, so far in 2024. So I'm not going to suddenly think that Chelsea are some massively solid defence. I think Spurs can score in both of those games. So I think Son probably won't be enough. You'll probably need another player on top of that. Everybody's going to captain Palmer, aren't they? I think after last night. So getting a couple of Spurs attackers might make sense.
Definitely. Okay, let's move on to assists imminent. This is a bit more game week 34 orientated. Lots of names of players that are doubling. Some will be of interest, some won't be. Foden is top here. It's because he's not playing. So his last four matches at the moment, he's succumbing to rotation. It was interesting that he was dropped for this game, presumably a rotation and a rest. He was originally, according to the leakers, going to play, but according to Pep afterwards, there was absolutely no chance he was ever going to play. That was always the plan, and he even referenced the leakers were wrong, which suggests to me he's fully in let's flush these lads out mode with the leakers. So I'd be worried if I was privy to Man City team sheets and leaking them, especially when they're wrong. I would be a little worried at the moment, especially if you work for Man City or are close to Pep Guardiola. So yeah, Foden, a good option against Brighton away.
Yeah,
McNeil next for
absolutely.
Everton. People aren't going to go for Everton. I mean, they do have
No.
Nottingham Forest at home and Liverpool at home. So the Liverpool game, there's a slight edge there. Liverpool not in great form, and Everton Liverpool is, it's a derby, a big derby, huge derby. But yeah, people aren't going to go there. I reckon he could get us a return though, maybe.
Yeah, I think a defender from Everton, even, I know they were terrible last night, but generally they've been a reliable defence over the season. I think that's fine. One, I don't think there's space for McNeil, even in free hit teams and things like that. There's a lot of competition there, isn't there? You've got Eze, Olise, and then even after that, you've got Sarabia, you've got Brereton Diaz, and I'd probably put them all ahead of McNeil, I think, to be honest.
Definitely.
Like you say, Joe, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets an assist from a
No.
set piece or something like that. But yeah, I think you've got to be looking at the Palace mids over McNeil.
Definitely. Odegaard at Burnley is next. We're going to sort of sketch over him. He's created six chances. McNeil has created eight chances and had 13 corners, hence Tom referencing possible assists from a set piece there. Next name, though, I do want to dwell on Odegaard. We mentioned him for last week's review of the matches, let us down. But he has created seven chances. He's only had one corner. He has scored, he hasn't assisted, and just one successful cross. These aren't like earth-shattering stats, but he does look good still. And the Arsenal attack, I still think, is good. So a lot. It's a case of, for me and you, we're double Arsenal defence and Saka, but others, particularly on a free hit, might think, oh, I'll just have Gabriel, Saka, and one more. Havertz is probably in the driving seat for many. But Odegaard could do well. He could chip in, easily get goal and a couple of assists, and suddenly you've got a huge double game week haul there. He's been in and out of your team this season. Odegaard, I think he's a reasonable, but I think he's one that's going to be overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people will gravitate towards Havertz because of the run that he's been on, and I get that. But I think Odegaard, I think you'd agree, slightly more nailed in that team. I mean, Havertz has started 10 league matches in a row now, so but I still am hesitant to say Havertz is completely nailed because there could be a bit of rotation with a Trossard coming in or Jesus leading the line instead of him or something like that. Whereas Odegaard, I thought he was brilliant against Villa in the first half, and then obviously the whole team faded after that and they didn't really get in it in the second half. But I thought he was excellent first half. He did come off with a small issue. You might have spotted he's been flagged in FPL. But my understanding is that he's in training today. Arteta has a presser about 6 o'clock tonight, and I'm sure he'll be fine. So I don't, yeah, just monitor that if you're considering him, and maybe wait till closer to deadline. But can't see it being an issue. But yeah, I think he's a great option. When he returns, he normally gets bonus as well because of the passing ability in that team. So yeah, I would seriously consider him if I was on a free hit this week. Alongside Saka, of course. Matt.
Next name of interest for game week 35, I would imagine, Mudryk at Chelsea. Facing Arsenal in 34, so we're not as interested in Chelsea, apart from Palmer, who's going to be on all our benches. We won't get his points.
Yeah.
But Mudryk is one to consider. He's certainly putting his hat in the ring. Seven chances created, 15 corners, three successful crosses. These are good stats for 6.3. He is an intriguing differential for the double game week in 35, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, the likes of Jackson certainly didn't do themselves any favour with the sort of disgusting display of trying to get the penalty ball off Palmer. Yeah. And, you know, that's what an opposition team would do to try and put off a player.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely insane. I cannot even believe that there's not some kind of disciplinary around that, because that's just... Anyway, yeah, the third Chelsea option in game week 35, if we go for, say, Gusto, Palmer, one more, Mudryk could be that one.
Yeah, it's a bit like Spurs, isn't it? You know, that third spot is pretty open, so we can kind of monitor it and kind of then make a decision when the time comes. Mudryk, yeah, I'm still a little bit worried about his minutes. Mm-hmm. But Palmer's been playing in this kind of 10 role recently, which has then allowed Madueke and Mudryk to line up either side of him, which creates space for an additional winger if Palmer isn't on the right wing. So, I suppose he's in the mix. Mm. Jackson, three attacking returns last night. I thought he looked good, actually, bar that penalty incident. I thought he showed some nice touches. Yeah. We have got this potential ban still over his head at the moment because Chelsea don't play their 32nd league game until they play Arsenal next. Ah. If he picks up a book, he's on 9 bookings. Mm. So if he picks up a booking in that game against Arsenal, he'll miss the entirety of double game week 35.
Okay.
So we need to be careful of that. If we're wildcarding like me and you, Joe, it's fine. You can just make a decision.
Yeah.
But, I don't think anybody will bring him in this week anyway. No. It doesn't make sense to with Arsenal. But yeah, we might be searching around and he might not be included in that conversation. But let's see anyway.
Yeah.
But Mudryk, I think I'd put a little bit below Jackson at the moment. But if Jackson were to be banned, something like that, and Palmer moves to a false nine role or something like that, which could happen, then suddenly Mudryk's minutes become a little bit more secure.
Yeah.
And maybe you'd go for him. So.
Certainly. Willian's next. He's always going to be here. Sort of dropped down the pecking order, really, for FPL managers with Fulham. Nevertheless, last four matches, 10 chances created, 8 corners, 6 successful crosses. Good stats. He's been underperforming. Should have got... Most of these players here should have got at least an assist above what they've already got. So if they've got more than one assist, they're off the table anyway. So they've all been underperforming. Szoboszlai as well, we've mentioned a lot. Worth reiterating his stats. 13 chances created, 21 corners, 7 successful crosses. Last four matches. If Liverpool pick up form and he plays, he might get the odd assist or two, but he'd be a bit further down. Next name I want to dwell on, though, is Saka. 15 corners, 8 chances created, 5 successful crosses. He's obviously on penalties, can get goals and does frequently. But it's his assist potential as well there. It's good to see him there. I suppose the interesting thing is, do we consider captaining him for game week 34?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm not. And I'm really happy to own Saka, but I still think that Salah, because of those, I prefer the fixtures, the Fulham and the Everton game over the Wolves and the Chelsea one for Liverpool. Now, Salah isn't in a great moment at the moment, is he really, form-wise?
That's
He's
why I
missing
asked,
quite a lot of chances, but he's still getting those chances. You know, he's very close to scoring. It was, what, Tyreek Mitchell blocking last few minutes at the weekend. I still find it very hard to look past Salah for this double game week. So Saka, yeah, I haven't really considered him for captaincy at all at the moment.
No, I mean, he's my vice captain.
I think other people will.
He's my vice captain, so he's definitely in the mix. But I do feel that Salah's will put away chances, and he has the better fixtures. And it's also, I mean, like with Saka, he's got the pedigree of recent years.
Yeah,
as well. Our next name is Fernandes. We've mentioned, and this is why we're considering him on a game week 35. Wild card, but also game week 34, Manchester United, home to Sheffield United. I've got Garnacho in my side. I'm going to play him because I think this is a good match. And I, yes, double game weekers could, but for a hit, I'm not sure double game weeker will beat him. But Fernandes, I mean, if you've got Fernandes or considering or making moves ahead of 35, even, you're not wild carding, you've already wild carded. I think Fernandes is a good option. 13 corners, 8 chances created. 4 goals last 4 matches. No assists, though, which is what we usually associate him with. 5 successful crosses. He's a great assist potential stats. It's going on with the 4 goals he scored in as many matches. So, Fernandes. Yeah, I mean, I guess we've sort of spoken about him, really. But
Absolutely. And just to add in as well, the thing which I do like about Fernandes is the minutes. And, you know, there are no there are no fears when the team sheets drop at United. And if Arsenal and Man City are to progress this week into the Champions League semi-final, which isn't done and dusted, but if they do, then we're going to, you know, all of these rotation fears that we had over the weekend, they're going to pop up again in a couple of weeks' time. So that's why players like Fernandes and as well players like Ollie Watkins, who did well at the weekend, you know, they're all getting overlooked, aren't they? But they're still delivering. So. I think Fernandes will definitely be on my kind of shortlist for game week 35 wild card.
Definitely. Okay. Well, it's been quite a speedy goals and assists imminent tables because we've got you know, other things to think about with 35 as well. Not many names on the goals imminent table at the moment. So we've got plenty a bit of time for some questions. So if you've got any questions in the live chat, do put them in and I'll try and find them. Do put a question mark on them. I know it sounds weird, put a question mark on them, but it just makes it easier to see. Some people don't have time to put a punctuation in. So if you've got any questions, let us know and we will answer them. Okay, I'll go and have a look now into the live chat. STE.R, I'm going to call him, is looking at defensive options. He's basically saying double Arsenal defence, or should he mix it up a bit with, I presume this is for 34, it could be for 35, but yeah, what's the best Arsenal trio, I think, would be a good way of sort of dissecting that question. Double Arsenal defence and Saka, Saka, Gabriel, and one and another attacker. Which do you think is best if you were free hitting now?
I think it's quite close. Firstly, like the Arsenal defense has been very, very good. Well, it's been incredible over the season, hasn't it? And what, like 6 clean sheets in 9 games, something like that. If I was free hitting though this week, I think I would go double attack because it's a way of differentiating the team a little bit because all of the teams like mine and yours, Joe, who aren't free hitting, have already got our double Arsenal defenders in place. And I do think there's other picks in defence this week that you can go for. You know, if Ait Nouré is fit, you know, he can fill one of the spots. A Liverpool defender can fill one of the spots. An Everton defender, something like that. So I think that I would probably go Gabriel, Saka. And then if it was my team, I think I'd go Odegaard. But I think Havertz is a very good pick too.
Yeah, I mean, I would still go Arsenal double defence. Because I keep mentioning Ben White. But as I've highlighted many times in the recent weeks, why are you getting 10 points more than me? and it's Ben White. And now I've got him in, and he's got, we both got Ben White, and we both got 5 points more than those who've got, you know, just Saliba and Gabriel, for example, or 4 points more. But anyway, points more. And that's what Ben White does. And he's top defender in FPL for good reason. So I just think in a double game, it's just about accumulating points. I don't care whether they're flashy or score. I just need them to accumulate points in some way. So that's why I would go for just that, just pure points accumulation in the double game week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they're both, you know, I think it's difficult for anybody to argue against either double defence or double attack. I think they're both really good options. Yeah. I can see the pros of both approaches, really. I just think if you're building a free hit team, it might work better in terms of balance for just one. But yeah, I mean, Wolves and Chelsea, it wouldn't surprise anybody if there's a clean sheet in there. Perhaps two.
Neil asks, what are our thoughts on Alexander-Arnold for game week 34? He's put in brackets, am. I'm presuming he's meant to write am, I'm considering. So, Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, so Bradley came off at the weekend, didn't he, with this ankle injury. And then Alexander-Arnold came on quicker or sooner than expected, should I say, I think. And he looked a little bit rusty, which is understandable, but he was kind of inverting into midfield and that usual hybrid role, which is where we've seen him get so many points before. So Klopp said after the game, he said, look, I don't think Alexander-Arnold could play 120 minutes now or anything like that, but, you know, it's going to take time. But the Bradley kind of injury feels quite key in this, because if Bradley's okay, if Bradley's okay, then that might affect Alexander-Arnold's minutes again a little bit. If Alexander-Arnold plays against Atlanta as well on Thursday, that's going to make me a little bit worried for the weekend, because, of course, they've still got Joe Gomez who can play at right back and has played at right back pretty well over when he has been asked to do that over the month or so. I think I'd be happy to risk it. But I'd feel really happy to risk it if he didn't start against Atlanta on Thursday.
Luca,
I just think it's that stage. That stage of the season. Mm. We're at that stage of the season, aren't we? Where we're looking for those big hauls, big differential players, and Alexander-Arnold is one of those players who could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. For me, I just think at the moment he's not eight point whatever he is defender. Right. And so, if you're free hitting and you can afford it, then yeah, it's worth a go. Mm. But as I said, depending on the Atlanta team sheet point, but I think you can probably get similar returns from Van Dijk or Alisson for less money.
And Robertson looked very good at the weekend too. So yeah, it's whether or not you want to take that risk, because he might be benched in one of those games. I think he probably will be benched in one of those games if he starts against Atlanta.
Luke has put his free hit draft up asking us what we think about it. But I would say I really like it because it's very similar mentality of a free hit in 34 as I outlined in my free hit guide. And I had a draft there. And I like 3-5-2. Midfielders get more points, clean sheets, and they get more points for scoring as well. There's so many attackers listed as midfielders in the game. I think 3-5-2 is ideal. I also like the five he's got in midfield. So he has got Henderson in goal, and then he's got White, Gabriel. So I like that as well, the Ben White one, and Gabriel. Alexander-Arnold, he can afford him. Across the midfield, he's got Salah, Diaz, Saka, Eze, and Elise. And up front, Haaland and Solanke. Obviously, Solanke's got a double. And on the bench, just in case, I suppose that would be just in case Haaland doesn't make it. He's got Kuna as the first sub. So this is pretty much how I would do it if I was free hitting now. I really like that. I like the Eze-Elise move because they're both good. They've got the best fixture, I think, for the double. The sacrifice there is a sort of second Arsenal mid, but as I said, I like Ben White there. So yeah, Luca, I like it. I like it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Keep it. Don't touch it. Don't get persuaded elsewhere. Just stick with that. Unless you particularly want to change it. But I think that is really good to go now. Just go and have a cup of tea and just wait for Saturday.
Who was the sorry? Who was the second striker on top of Solanke, Joe?
Haaland.
Oh, Haaland.
Yeah, that's why I liked it as well, because those like you and me who aren't free hitting, we've got Haaland. We're just going to play him. So if Haaland does damage against Brighton, which is entirely plausible, and you are free hitting without Haaland, you can miss out. And I understand the mentality. You've got to go for, you know, double game weekers, but it's Haaland. You know, in a certain players, I think, are okay to play in a double game week. You only have one fixture.
I'm not going to say to anybody, don't play Haaland. No. Yeah, because, I mean, they have got this FA Cup semi after the deadline. But the beauty of that squad that this poster has put in, he's got Cunha first sub. Yeah. So if Haaland were to miss out, you've got a double game week forward to step in.
And that was exactly the strategy I was proposing in that free hit guide, was make sure you got a good first sub. I think there was one comment, I can't remember, it was FPL General's video I did, was like almost laughing at me for recommending Haaland, and because he's got one fixture. And I was just thinking, probably, arguably the best striker in the world against a team, admittedly my team, but a team with a very, very poor defence at the moment. You know, whatever next, you know. So, you know.
Yeah, I just think it's one of them. I think would he be in my free hit team? He might not be, but I'm certainly not going to criticise other people for picking Erling Haaland in a free hit squad.
If I was saying get Beto in or something, I can understand the laughter, but it's Haaland, for God's sake, against Brighton. Yeah. That's a really good game. Mm.
Am I right in saying they're usually quite open games at the Amex, aren't I? With
can be,
there's
can
been goals over there over the years.
It can be cagey though. I mean, Nciso scored that amazing goal for Brighton. I think that was only one. I think we lost that 2-1 or something, or it was 1-1.
Okay. That was last season, wasn't it?
That was last season. But one thing is, Pep Guardiola does rate Zerbi, and he rates Brighton. Yeah. He likes. Yeah. He likes, you know, ordinarily their style of play. So he's not going to look at this match and kind of think, oh, well, that's easy. He's not going to think like FPL managers and do and go, oh, Brighton haven't kept a clean sheet for a while. He's going to look at that and go, oh, Deserby's quite good. Oh, they've got some okay players there. Pascal Gross and Ciso.
It's one of their toughest games. It's one of their toughest games in the running, I think. Absolutely. Yeah. So
I think there's other opportunities to rest players.
Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kieran says, despite Palace's last result, they've been pretty shocking in 2024. I'm surprised Newcastle players are popping up on these tables. Well, for a start, they're not popping up on these tables. I would say Newcastle players are good to get, particularly for home. But I think Palace, since they've got the new guy, have looked really good. And this was the first opportunity, I think, for a while, where they've had Eze, Elise and Mateta up front, which is their ideal front three, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I think they won their first game under Glasner and they beat Burnley. I think it was 3-0. Yeah. They didn't look a massive threat in a few games when I watched them after that.
Yeah.
But I think the key here, and you alluded to it then, Joe, is they're getting players back. And this is the first time we've seen Olise, Eze and Mateta. Yeah. When those three are playing together, I think they'll cause a lot of team problems. And I think that's the difference now between... getting Olise back is so big for Palace because there's such a drop-off in quality between him and Jordan Ayew, who's been playing the same role. It gives them so much more creativity in behind the striker, and Eze benefits from that, Mateta does, they all do. So, I'm not saying that West Ham have got, Palace have got the same firepower as Arsenal or Liverpool, but I think looking at their prices this week...
Yeah.
For what, 5.6 million, 6 million, that kind of... I think they're worth the roll of the dice in a double with two home games. So,
Kieran has clarified that he's surprised Newcastle players aren't on these tables. Well, once again, don't be surprised. They're not on these tables because they've already delivered. Why would Anthony Gordon and Isak be on these tables? Even Barnes has done well.
Harvey
Barnes. Got the wrong one. I've got Brighton, ex-Brighton players on my mind. Okay, a story of film. Best attackers for free hit 34. I guess we've pretty much answered that. I think it's Haaland, Solanke and Kuna. And it all depends on whether you want to have three or two up front.
Yeah, I think Solanke is the best pick. I think that he has to be in a free hit team. I mean, we haven't mentioned it, but I think everybody's going cold on Darwin, understandably, aren't they? I think if we would have built these free drafts maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, he would have been in the vast majority of them. But I think because he missed that decent, well, he had a chance, saved a really good one at the weekend, didn't he? He probably should have picked the corner out there. And then he got hooked early, didn't he, as well? You've got Jota coming back. You've got Gakpo who can replace him like for like as well. So there's, yeah, people are a bit. So I think Darwin has fallen down a bit now. But so I think you've got Solanke. I think then you've got Mateta, who's really good. But I think I probably prefer Eze over Mateta. So then I think you've probably got, it's probably Cunha, isn't it? Or Haaland. Those are probably the two. Which one of those two I'd consider, I
I
think.
mean, I this is now my second time owning Darwin. I have got points from him, not many, but I have, and he is frustrating. And there's two schools of thought. There's the Klopp school of thought, which is he gets so many chances. Of course, he's going to miss some, but he's getting more chances than the most people. And the other one is that he's just not that good. And I'm erring towards that one, in that he's a bit of chaos. He's a bit lively, but he's not as accurate as he could be. And he is shooting a lot, but that doesn't mean anything if they're going to miss the target so often. So, I will, when I after game week 34, when I wild card, Darwin will no longer be part of my plans, as most people's. And I'm not sure I'll ever go back there. I've had it now. It's twice now. So I'll give him one final go in 34.
I think with my FPL hat on, I don't necessarily mind the forwards missing the chances. I like my forwards getting chances, but they've got to be doing something. It can't be like Jackson over that period earlier in the season where you're just missing chance after chance and then still not scoring. You've got to get, it's a bit like Haaland misses a lot of chances, but he also scores a lot of chances, so you don't mind it so much. But Darwin, it does feel like it's dropped a little bit, and I think he'll play against Atlanta on Thursday. Because they need to get back into this game. They need him up front, I think, because he does, like you say, he create that bit of chaos. So, you might not get two starts. I mean, if you own him, just play him, don't you? But you might not get two starts out of him now. So that's why I think that maybe if you're on a free hit, maybe Cunha and Haaland are a bit ahead of him, I think.
That probably answers Kaya's next question. Sell Haaland for Darwin? No. Or sell KDB for Luis Diaz? Maybe.
I'll do that.
Luke, is Jota worth a gamble for the double? Yes, but I don't know if you. Me. Maybe. I just don't. He hasn't had the minutes yet. So I think you're going to get minutes out of him in the double, but I don't know how many minutes. And if he's not on the pitch, he can't get any returns.
And I think sorry to keep saying it, but this Atlanta match just feels key. If Darwin goes out there and Diaz and they both play extra time or something ridiculous like that, every other forward who doesn't feature so much, their minutes get bumped up for the weekend game. So it just feels like we're waiting on those team sheets. We're waiting to see how that plays out. And then you're going to be so much more informed to make decisions on not only the attackers, but players like Alexander Arnold too.
Rob has played all his chips and he's used his free transfer. That's on a keeper.
Oof.
But he's considering taking a hit for an outfield player. I would go for a hit. I think if you're not free hitting and you're a bit low, I would go for a hit. But he also says he's concerned about playing Garnacho after his half-time benching. I'm playing Garnacho myself. I'm playing Garnacho and Haaland's my only two single game weekers. I'm quite happy to. It's such a good fixture at home to Sheffield United. I think he should do damage there. I mean, we've said that many times against Sheffield United. But I would take a gamble if you've got any other sort of non-double game week players or double game week players who are a bit rubbish. For example, I've got Zabanyi for Bournemouth, and I'm going to bench him. He's just going to be a sub for
Same,
me.
same.
Because I mean, who have Bournemouth got? I mean, I'm trying to remember now. Bournemouth, of
Villa
course.
And Wolves.
Villa and Wolves, so that's it. Basically, I just can't see a clean sheet. And we got his first goal since he was like 12 or something the other day in a double game week. And it's not going to happen again. So, yeah.
No, I mean, you can't be relying on those.
It's just going to be 2 to 4 points. So, not so good. We've got time for a couple more. Oh, God, you've got loads of questions here. I'll try and do really quickly then. Okay, GRP outdoors. Who is the best goalkeeper for assuming you're free hitting, who's the best goalkeeper for game week 34?
Still Pickford, in my opinion.
Okay. I think Alisson. So at least we're both staying in the same city.
I only say that because I think that your Liverpool triplet might be better with players like Van Dijk and Diaz and things like that. Yeah. In isolation, Liverpool, Alisson's better. But yeah.
Yeah. Kuna or Mateta? I say Kuna because there's more options.
I would want Elise and Eze.
Yeah.
And then Cunha.
Lots of people agreeing with me about Darwin. Historia Films, Darwin ain't Palmer. That's true.
He's definitely not Palmer.
Luckily,
though.
A lot of these aren't questions. They're just basically slagging Darwin off. okay, FPL copycat. What about Eze as captain? And I must admit, I am tempted.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what your risk appetite is. It depends how happy you are saying, I'm not going to go for Salah. And he hasn't been great recently. He's going to be, I don't know what his EO will be, but Salah will be massively owned, won't he?
Yeah.
If you've got him, though, it's not going to hurt quite as much as not owning him at all.
Yeah.
I just think we're at that stage of the season where if you want to have a bit of fun with it and you want to go with something a little bit different, as long as you're aware of what could happen if Salah does go off, which can happen in any game.
Yeah.
We've seen it, seen it before where he can get a hat trick, in games you don't even expect him to sometimes. But yeah, I just think it's that stage of the season where you might want to have a bit of fun and roll the dice a bit. And he's probably up there, isn't he? I mean, you've got Salah, you've got Saka.
Yeah.
He's probably be in the mix, I think. So I don't mind it.
That answers another question there. Apologies, I've forgotten who asked it. But basically saying Abbott asked who's the best captain other than Salah, Saka, Haaland. We just answered that. Eze, I think.
Yeah, it probably is Eze. Yeah. I thought about, because Solanke, because Bournemouth had got those two away games. And I think Eze probably is the best of that kind of chasing pack and the best differential captain for sure. So
FPL Fred thinks Solanke away against the two best keepers in the league currently in Martinez and Saar could be a potential double game week trap. Yes, possibly. I don't put it this way. I wouldn't captain Solanke, but he's one of the first names on the team sheet for me, free hitting or not.
Yeah, because I just think who is better than Solanke this week in the forward positions? Because he's a 90-minute man. He's on penalties in those games. Yeah, he's coming up against Emi Martinez, one of the best keepers in the league. But Villa, prior to going to Arsenal, we've been leaky as hell recently as well. We haven't been solid defensively, especially at Villa Park. Solanke will get a chance to score at the weekend. And even Wolves have had players out and... There's talk of, I think, at the weekend, Kilman having some surgery and things like that. So, I don't think that Villa and Wolves' defences are at the... It's not like they're playing Arsenal or anything like that. So I think Solanke's fine. So.
Final question from Kieran. Best defenders... I'm just going to do it singular. Best defender to hold for the rest of the season. My answer is Gabriel. He has survived my wildcard draft so far. And I'm probably going to play him in game week 35. Any team that is bad defending set pieces is time for Gabriel to possibly get a goal. He's so many matches, he either does score or he looks like he's going to score. And of course, we know about their clean sheet potential. Gabriel.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it would be Gabriel. I think you could maybe mention Van Dijk as well, but Liverpool aren't looking that secure at the back at the moment. I think Everton have got, as well as this double, they've got decent fixtures as well. So if you wanted like somebody much cheaper than Gabriel and you wanted to go I mean, Branthwaite went off with a knock last night. I think he'll be all right. But if you want to go, like, if you want a really cheap defender to just hold for the rest of the season, I'd probably say it'd be an Everton defender.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining me, Tom. Thanks everyone in the live chat. Thanks for all your questions. Sorry we didn't get around to all of them. Hopefully we've answered most of the sort of key points there. Until next week, good luck with the game week and see you again.
Cheers, Jane.